Coming to the end of our little series on the importance of prayer, that was 10 of them. I don't know if you were trying to keep count. Seth Catherine Coyce asked that when we finish this, she would like these on a CD. I don't know what. Do you know how to do that for her? Is you just?
Well, for her, I put it on record. But
oh,
yeah, no problem.
Okay. All right. The importance of prayer. My concluding thought concerning this is: expect your thinking to change during prayer. I'm just wanting to put this thought in your mind that prayer is not always entirely a one-way talking thing. Not that you will hear voices or that all these things will happen, but that the way it works with me, I'll just put it this way. I don't know if it's going to work this way with you, but I'm thinking it will. That while I'm praying about a thing, a thought, a question comes to my mind. And as I think about that question, the first time that happened to me that I remember was I had just become a youth pastor and at my home church. And we were going to have a revival. And I came into my room and I dropped on my knees and at the bed and I said, oh Lord, I'm so burdened about this revival. I just really want you to... And I stopped about right there because the question just came into my mind. Are you really burdened? And all of a sudden I realized I was in, you know, performing mode. Hey, we're going to have a revival. Isn't that great? We're going to have, you know. And then I really prayed. I'm not excited about this at all. It just means kind of more work. But I believe that revival is very important. And so I really got some talking to God done. Nancy?
Quite often we're praying that we won't fall on our face and make an idiot of ourselves.
We don't want to be made a fool of, yeah. Well, that's the type of thing I'm talking about today. So here's the facts that we know. The Holy Spirit indwells us, that means lives inside you, and knows our deepest thoughts. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Groanings that you and I can't utter, He can. He speaks the language of God. He is God. And so God within you speaks to the God above you, the controller of it all, and essentially is interpreting your heart. This is why fake prayers don't work, because what you really are thinking is what goes up to heaven. Besides knowing your deepest thoughts, He also knows the deepest part of the mind of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11, For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, in like manner, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That means that you and I don't know what God is thinking, what God's planning, but the Holy Spirit does. You put these two things together, and He really knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling. He really knows what you're asking, no matter what your words are. And He also knows what God's plan for you or plan for this situation is. So we can put these things together. My point to you then is this. Pay attention to questions that pop into your mind while you are praying. Now, we don't have then really any scripture that talks about this, but we have several verses that I'll share with you where God asks a question. Now, in many cases, he was audibly speaking to these people, but in not every case do we know that for sure. But I think it's interesting to me that since my experience was that just a question came to my mind, and after I pursued that, then another question would come to my mind, and then another, and after that, and finally I was talking about something I never intended to talk about. And I felt that that whole thing was led of God. Pay attention to questions that pop into your mind while you're praying. Genesis 3:9, the Lord said, the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" I think we're all convinced that God didn't really wonder. What? I can't see you? But Adam didn't know. You know his first answer? "I was afraid." Fear is the opposite of faith. When you turn from God, you're turning away from faith. You're turning toward fear. Genesis 4:6. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen?" Here, he's upset. He's stomping around. The thought just comes to him, perhaps God speaking directly. "Why are you angry? You know, do you do well to be angry?" What are you really angry about, Cain? In Judges 13:18, the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret," or "it is wonderful"? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. But he's just asking a question, kind of a formal or informal asking of the question. "Well, who are you? What's your name?" And the question comes, "I think you know." Why are you asking the question? 2 Chronicles 24:20. And the Spirit of God came upon, literally clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them. The Spirit of God said unto them, "Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath forsaken you. He hath also forsaken you." You know, here's the question. You're ruining everything. Why do you do that? Why, for the sake of the pleasures of sin for a season, are you turning the blessedness of God against you? 2 Chronicles 25:15. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, "Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, as if they were powerful? These are the gods which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand. You conquered them. Now you're praying to their gods." He's asking, do you think this makes any sense? He might prompt you with that question. Jeremiah 27:13. Because we ask, you know, what is an idol? Today, perhaps the best answer I've ever heard is, when you're expecting something to give you what only God can give, like joy, peace of heart, you've turned it into an idol. Why are you seeking that idol? All right. Jeremiah 27:13. "Why will ye die?" That's an important question, isn't it? Why did you choose to die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. God said, serve the king of Babylon. He said so through his prophet Jeremiah. They said, we will not. He said, why are you choosing to die? I have told you. If you stay here, you'll die by sword, famine, and pestilence. The thought may come to you in prayer. Why am I doing what I'm doing? This isn't what God said. Haggai 1:9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it, or I blew it away. Look what I got. Why is his question? Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and he run every man into his own house. What had they put first? Their own stuff. Their own house. Yeah, I'll give to the Lord as soon as I finish the remodel. We need an open concept. I sit in the office of my computer and I hear show after show after show. They want an open concept. In the New Testament, Matthew 15:3, but he, this is Jesus, said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? You remember the situation they had asked, why do your disciples violate the things, eat without washing their, ceremonial washing of their hands? They pluck these things on the Sabbath. How dare they do such a thing? And he just answers them back. Who do you think you are? Why do you violate the commandment of God by your tradition that you're holding up in front of my disciples? Maybe we've been following our traditions. I grew up in the 50s. We had all the religious traditions, I had people preaching against wire rim glasses, people preaching against, had any kind of different length of hair. Yeah, sideburns, that's right. Heard the preaching against the mini skirts and the maxi skirts. You go back a little bit further, and Billy Sunday preached against the bicycle. People gadding about, not sitting at home. Matthew 19:17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? Do you know what you're saying? That was me. Oh, Lord, I'm so burdened about this. Do you know what you're talking about? No, I guess I don't. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Why callest thou me good? Even think about what you're saying to God. So, just some ideas. But with this, I would like to leave you with, this is not an entirely mechanical thing, prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Don't be surprised if he steers the conversation. Now, this is not the kind of praying where you have a list of things you want and that's all you talk about. Then your guidance in the prayer is the list and your desires. But this is where you're talking to God. This is where you're communing with God. This is where you're fellowshipping with God. This is when you're asking him for growth and development and asking him for help with other people. So let's remember this in the importance of prayer.